We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
On KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. So I wanted to let you know that we're going to try to hook up with our friend Drex up in Canada. We do this on Sunday nights. Drex hosts The Late Shift all across the Chorus Radio Network. And yes, they have also have been, they've also had their own demonstrations, their own protest of what has been watched up there. It'll be interesting to get his take on it. We're also watching CNN. I decided to pop them up real quick. And curfew was imposed. However, San Francisco still looks like they had their issues with it. Let me bring up CNN real quick.
But thus far, at least tonight in San Francisco, as San Francisco is concerned, things do seem to be calm at the moment. Natalie.
All right. We appreciate that, Dan. Stand by. Let's go now to Kyung La. She has been in Long Beach, California. You've been walking with protesters. What's the thing there, Kyung?
Well, in just the last couple of minutes, the police have actually cleared off of this street because they have basically been able to clear this area of protesters. Let me sort of back up, and you were asking, Natalie, about the people we were marching with. For the last couple of hours, we had been watching these protesters, a smaller group than the thousands who had gathered here in Long Beach earlier in the day, a small group of protesters continuing to march through the streets of Long Beach. They were overwhelmingly peaceful. I didn't see them tagging buildings. I didn't see them smashing anything. They were holding up signs and they were chanting, asking for justice. And they were trying to talk about systemic racism. And as the curfew passed, they continued to march. But then police decided that that was enough, that they needed to clear the streets, and so some were taken into custody. So let me tell you, though, that it has been the case, especially in the city of Santa Monica, where we were just a few hours ago, there was widespread looting through a commercial district. When we were walking through that area, it's the 3rd Street Promenade, the streets adjacent to the 3rd Street Promenade, if you're familiar with Santa Monica, California, many blocks of stores had their windows smashed. Commercial stores, retail stores were completely emptied.
Yeah, this is the CBS feed, so they're live right now on the West Coast, Santa Monica. No, Long Beach. This is the Long Beach one. So what we find is that a lot of the cities, at least the ones that CNN was reporting at, well, there were some flare-ups from before, but it seems for the most part curfews are kicking in and being enforced. We saw from Washington, D.C., I mean, there was some fires going on in the building, and man, if there's anything on fire, CNN's showing up with a camera crew, and they're making sure to set up camp right in front of it. But at least here locally in Ferguson and Richmond Heights, what we've noticed is that originally it started with a curfew in Ferguson, and for the longest time there, it was just basically the police standing there near the police department, and then you had the protesters out on the street kind of hanging out until someone thought it was a good idea to light off a firework, and that's when things started to end pretty quickly. However, it really just moved to a different area, Ferguson, and then you saw another demonstration there as people were pulling the signs into the middle of the streets, knocking them over. At least the giant road construction signs is what they look like. You know, the ones that kind of are on these little trailers, and it looks like there might be a little generator on it or something along those lines. So they tip this over, and then you see a dude with a baseball bat show up and beat this thing. We saw this demonstrator with a baseball bat. Cam OV was focusing in on them, and I think we got a pretty good look at the person. But if you show up to a protest with a baseball bat, you're showing up with the wrong intentions. You're not doing it because you feel there's some sort of overwhelming need to protect yourself. You're doing it because you're looking to smash. And unfortunately, we saw that happen in Ferguson and a lot of other areas across the United States last night. And it's just kind of a sad display. Then today, the police not really taking much in the way of risking it and trying to get a replica of what we had the night before. Let's go up into the CBS News Network. I'm curious what they have on the feed, and let's see if they're covering anything that's going on around the nation. Or maybe not.
Long Beach. I'm not sure if they were already open. You know, we are in the middle of a pandemic. It is there, you know, the COVID-19 outbreak, which is going on. And a lot of these retailers, they just got the green light a couple of days ago that they are allowed to have in-store retail. Here's another shot we're looking at in Long Beach as well. Not exactly sure what we're seeing. But one of the things that we're not seeing is we're not seeing a lot of people out in the streets like we have been. Mm-hmm. In the last hour.
Right, which is what county officials were hoping for. They wanted people to get inside. Fireworks right there in the shot. So obviously some people are still out there. But the fire chief there, Javier Espino, mentioned the fact that the fire department is working in task force situation and a task force setup, meaning they're working in teams. So typically a call that would only require perhaps an engine and an ambulance is now being responded to by multiple units for safety reasons. Obviously, they're being accompanied by the police department there. Interestingly, Long Beach City officials in their news conference mentioned the fact that they had reached out to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department for more help, and that the Sheriff's Department basically told them, look, sorry, we are overwhelmed. We cannot help you. We're extremely busy. And that is when they called for the National Guard. And also, interestingly, we haven't seen too many images of them around Long Beach. They may have arrived or they may still be en route. We're going to check on that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, this is day two of curfews here in L.A. County. It makes you wonder if tomorrow there's going to be more curfews as well. I know in nearby states in Arizona, the governor there has issued a curfew for the next few days, for the next week.
Till for the eight, entire state?
For till 8 o'clock at night. Oh. So it makes you wonder, you know, obviously L.A., a much larger city, the second largest city in the country. We have a lot more people here, and there's a lot more cities and areas to protest, which is what we've been seeing. And, you know, we've just been showing you three different locations, but these are popping up all across Southern California and, of course, across the country as well.
Yeah. Again,
right,
just
so
want to reiterate that
CBS,
county leaders have said that these
our affiliate out in, at least the TV side, KCAL Channel 9 in Los Angeles. And good news is that a lot of these different protests seem to be calming down, at least for this Sunday night into Monday morning. And let's hope it stays that way, at least for now. And really, we don't know. Obviously, anything could happen. But I was looking online at some of these different websites that try to organize different protests. It looks like there may be one in downtown St. Louis. I think it was like 3:30-ish in front of the courthouse, maybe for some of the people that were arrested during these protests, these ones that have turned violent. So we'll keep an eye on that and also monitor what's going on in Ferguson and Richmond Heights, but it looks like those have also calmed down, which is a good sign. This is Overnight America, KMO. And Overnight America continues. You know what I was watching earlier, some of the different special reports on the networks, and as of right now, both KMOV and Fox 2, we were covering and watching their local coverage of the different Ferguson and Richmond Heights protests that happened tonight in St. Louis, both of which have now since slowed down and non-existent, but I'm guessing the police are still there. They've already gone back to their network programming, so that's a good sign, right? I think that is a good sign. I wanted to also point out, watching the specials that the networks were putting on, like NBC had a special report earlier today, and I decided to watch a little bit of it. And as soon as the hour was over, they went right back to no whammy, no whammy, no whammy, stop. Yeah, right back to game show. So you have a very serious, here's what protest, here's the violence, here's police reacting to it, here's people smashing, here's people doing this, and see you later. Let's go to the no whammy show immediately after it. No separation. It was just so strange to see that. Yes, we are going to hook up with our friend Drex in about 13 minutes from now up in Canada, and I think this will be a pretty good conversation. I wanted to join Michael Calhoun one more time from the KMOX newsroom. And Michael, I got to say, as always, excellent reporting. Thank you for all your work tonight.
Well, thanks. It was different than some of the previous protests I've covered, doing it remotely. But with this, you know, we had two different scenes tonight that was unique. Kind of a flashpoint, but then luckily, thankfully, things have seemed to de-escalate over the last hour or so.
You know, I have to ask this, and this is kind of a weird question, because you covered Ferguson and you did a lot of work for the radio station back then. And when you watch some of these protests over the weekend and then you start reporting on them, I've seen other reporters mention this online, that they kind of have these flashbacks. Have you had any of those or any emotional feeling watching what's going on now?
Yeah, certainly in terms of flashbacks, you know, it's just an unforgettable feeling to be in the middle of a moving group of people, whether it's, you know, at dusk and you've got people with signs up and they're chanting and they're moving. And, you know, for instance, one protest downtown, I took a look at my Apple Watch and realized how many miles I had walked in. It didn't seem like that long because of how fast things were moving and just the situation you're in. Whether it's that kind of like an emotionally charged, you can feel what people are feeling around you, or whether it's later in the night. You know, we talked about tonight how as things began to wind down in terms of people having their hands up or signs or chants, or you know, showing their purpose for being out there, and instead just these groups of people, individuals running down alleyways, really splintering off, and people going, you know, breaking windows and that sort of thing at different businesses. That's a completely different feeling, where you're constantly on alert. You're thinking about, you know, what's behind me? What are the different noises that I'm hearing? Where is that coming from? You're constantly checking social media. Things can change in an instant. And also, it's been weird to see the tear gas dispersed all across the country, and hearing people's, you know, a lot of reporters, their first brush with it, and that's unmistakable too. You don't forget that also. So it's been a little bit of deja vu, yeah, over the past week or so.
Yeah, and you've been doing excellent work tonight, and with all of this going on, I know you've been watching different types of feeds. You've been watching the television feeds, but there's also different independent reporters that are, you know, they'll go around and they'll film, or they'll at least live stream what it's like to be down on the street. And you see this start to pop up. That's really changed a lot since 2014, the live streaming, and then on top of that, just the ability to go online quickly and find what it's like as if you were standing in the middle of that crowd.
Yeah, that's something that's really changed over the last 6 years or so, is that technology was just emerging during Ferguson. In fact, I can remember, you know, we had the protests in August, and they stretched then into the fall, and it was like November or so when Periscope and Facebook Live and those kinds of things were just emerging as new products, and people were obsessed with the fact that they could just send out live video from the sidewalk of the street corner where they were, you know, being able to broadcast back to the station using my phone and having it sound like a studio quality connection had just begun to emerge around that time as well. And so what we've seen is that at that point, the real savvy folks were in on it, and they were tweeting and they were sending out photos and videos and getting onto this live bandwagon. Now, It's everybody who's doing it. And so on the one hand, it's easier. On the other hand, it's harder to try to find reliable information and some of these streams that are coming out. And in fact, one of the ways that I can tell tonight as I cover these multiple scenes remotely is that a lot of the reporters and a lot of the protesters have gone dark on social media. Somebody saying that they managed to get to their car safely and get away. And so the last update we had from St. Louis County Police was that orders were given to leave the area after a Molotov cocktail was thrown at a police car about a half an hour ago, and they said the criminal activity will not be tolerated. But I haven't seen any reports or evidence or confirmation from police that any kind of other methods like tear gas have been deployed in Ferguson in the last half hour or so, which would make it the fourth time. But from what I saw, it seemed as if things were beginning to disperse toward the end of the last hour.
Oh, very good. Like I say, you've done excellent work tonight and every night. You're always on top of it. You're super fast at the way you do it and accurate. One of the things, just real quick, you mentioned before, there was a correction from the police. So apparently, as of right now, there's no arrests that were made in Ferguson tonight?
At least not that police have reported to us. Now, they may have other things on their plate right now before they send out an update to the press, but they had said at Let's see, what time? At about 10:30, they said one arrest and reports of shots fired at officers. And then 5 minutes after that, they said, correction, we do not have an arrest at this time, but they will advise if that changes. And we haven't gotten an update on that. But David Carson of the Post-Dispatch did say that on the other scene that we were following in Richmond Heights, there were three that he saw taken into custody in the street outside of the Galleria. So from the reports we have, three in Richmond Heights and no confirmation from Ferguson of arrests.
Well, thank you so much for all your work tonight. And as always, Michael Calhoun, you are one of the greats. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Ryan.
Good old Michael Calhoun. And it's always good to hear his voice. So we're going to take a break. We're going to take a look at the weather. We're going to get another national update from CBS News and see if there's anything else that's going on. And then we're going to check in with our friends in Canada. Good old Drex. He does the late shift up there. Looking forward to checking in with him as well. And if you want to text in, you can. I keep an eye on the text messaging at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. This is Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. And on this time, we're just a couple of minutes late, but I hope we can get some forgiveness from our friend Drex up in Canada, who does the late show.
You're all good,
Drex,
man.
Are you there?
Yeah, you're all good, man. I was just chatting to John, one of my listeners in Edmonton. He's a man of color, and I was just kind of telling us some of the incidents he's sort of had over the years of, like, he got stopped outside of his house once and asked,
oh, yeah,
"Do you live here?" And even his wife came out and said, "No, he lives here," and then the police said, "Are you sure he lives here?" Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to continue my conversation with him coming up.
Edmonton.
Yeah, in Edmonton. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, some solidarity protests happening here in Canada tonight as well, as things happen there in the States. How are things in St. Louis?
Well, we had some issues a little bit earlier today, and for the last couple of hours, it was something that we were monitoring. And part of it was that the police, for the most part, have gotten into these certain curfew. Like, they've been putting these decrees out there, these curfews, in order to try to stop the protests that are coming up. Because after you've had a night of protests that turn somewhat violent, where you have people that are smashing windows, putting cars and buildings on fire, things like that, they don't really mess around after it. So really, even though there was a curfew, there were still people that gathered in public areas, and as soon as one bit of violence happened, it was pretty much, all right, break her up, and that's what you saw tonight.
Because what I've been seeing the last few days here really reminds me of what happened in Ferguson all those years ago. It was very similar. Wasn't it?
Yes. And the problem that we're having now, and the sad thing is that a lot of the protests still happen in Ferguson. With Ferguson, that all of the everything that they've tried to heal from and everything that they've tried to get past, I don't think they'll ever be able to, because you have this instance in Minneapolis that has sparked a nationwide outcry, and then it always goes back to, well, we're going to go and protest in Ferguson again, and that becomes the center of where you see a lot of it happening in the St. Louis region. And because of that, I don't know if they'll ever be able to get past it. And I know we've had people call in from the show that live in Ferguson tonight, and they say, you know, you hear the constant helicopters above from the news reporters that are trying to watch the protest, and they live close to the police station, and they're fearing for their lives that they're going to come down their street, and they're just reliving this stuff over and over again, and they're getting tired of it.
Yeah. I was watching, I think it was MSNBC earlier today, they did a live hit from the promenade in Santa Monica with the big shopping area. It's generally a place I hit up every time I go to LA on a bit of a vacation. It was just strange seeing windows smashed and people just stealing things out of stores and no police around to stop them. They eventually showed up, what, 15, 20 minutes later, but still shocking to see that on television.
Oh, yeah. And you're starting to see that in a lot of areas, too. And sometimes it catches the police off guard, but I think a lot of them are starting to realize pretty quickly that the hands-off approach is not necessarily the best, because they have to at least be present. Sometimes you hear the reporters and the protesters say, where in the world is the police? You know, there's people getting roughed up and hurt. There's people out there becoming violent, and the police are nowhere to be seen. And for a while, their part of the tactic is they don't want to get into confrontations with the protesters, so they try to back off and they try not to be visible, as to, you know, they don't want to be the ones to try to provoke this sort of thing. But then at the same time, that's when all the violence starts, and people are wondering, why weren't the police here? It's a tough situation all the way around.
What do you... So a listener called in before, and he was kind of annoyed at me. He seems to think that, people like you and me who are in the media can't tell the difference between a peaceful protester and a troublemaker that's rioting and smashing windows. I can tell the difference. Can you tell the difference?
Just by looking at them?
When you understand that, you know, for example, the group that was walking along the highway in Milwaukee today, they were peaceful protesters. Yeah. That was their peaceful protest. But what I saw in Los Angeles is completely different. That is just willful destruction and thievery. You can tell the difference and explain the difference, but one of my listeners seems to think the media can't tell the difference between those things and just calls them all protesters.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, well, this is what happens primarily over here. So let me give you a couple of examples of when you know you're going to be in trouble. So one of the live feeds they had on the local CBS affiliate, KMOV, was showing the protesters that were there and for the most part just kind of hanging out in the road and standing around. And then you see a dude with a baseball bat show up and you know right away that they're not bringing that for any other reason besides to smash something. And it didn't take all but, you know, 90 seconds later that they found something to hit that thing with. So at night, it doesn't necessarily bring out the best in people, or at least they're ones that may wait for the nightfall to try to blanket maybe their identity, or they feel like maybe they can get away with it, or maybe that's the better time to do it. But when you see protests done right, and peacefully, and you can see the ones that are meant to be peaceful, as in to say what they want to say and use their expression in that way, and to under their protections of the Constitution, able to protest and do these things, much different than at nighttime when you see the difference when people purposely are trying to provoke. They bring fireworks, they bring weapons, they start smashing and looting. It's a whole different
thing. Just stir the pot. Flint, Michigan, the police joined in with the protest. There's been that great video that's doing the rounds of the sheriff saying, what do you want from us? They're like, join us. So they did. I think the same thing happened in Oakland as well. We've seen some pretty interesting footage of police and protesters having conversations and embracing. So the message is getting across in some places, but there are people ruining this, which is just kind of awful, Ryan.
Yeah, people do that. And what we find, this is a common thread here, where they say, like in Minneapolis, or they say in some of these other areas, it's, oh boy, people from out of town are the ones committing these crimes, which is interesting because in Minneapolis, they did the same thing where immediately they said all of the people that were arrested were out of towners, the ones that were causing the most problems. But then when you go back and you actually look at the arrest sheets, you notice that that's not the case. It might be 80-20, maybe 20% from out of town. I think sometimes cities use that as an excuse to tell the community that, hey, we're not turning on our own. We need to get together. We need to stop the bad actors. But at the same time, there are a lot of bad actors that do travel, and they have been caught doing this sort of thing. And I think it's a guarantee that there are people that try to take advantage of these things, and they purposely go to someone else's community just to cause problems, and they use it to egg on other people in hopes that they join in on it.
Wow, it sounds like something I was talking about 6 weeks ago when COVID-19 was sort of first starting to be taken very seriously, where we were hearing stories of out-of-towners coming into other people's towns and fleecing their grocery stores of toilet paper.
That too. Just taking and plundering the resources.
Yeah, just go, I can't find it in my local. I'll drive the 75 miles to that other town that's smaller that has a grocery store, and we'll just clear them out.
So
same,
what are the thresholds?
Thing, really?
What are the thresholds in Canada? What would be a legal protest versus an illegal protest?
Oh, exactly what you're seeing in the United States. As soon as it gets violent, then it's not a protest anymore. If there are peaceful, and we have plenty of peaceful protests. In fact, we had a bunch of them today. We had one in Montreal that got a little bit violent towards the end, but there was a peaceful protest in Vancouver where we do the show from, out the front of our art gallery in solidarity. With Americans who were peacefully protesting, and there wasn't any issues there. So, there's always going to be police around and authorities ready to go. But that's only if things go sideways, and they didn't go sideways.
If police had to break up a group, how would they do it?
It'd be different in each different city with however their police services do different things. But if it's the RCMP, they probably have their way of doing things as well. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you.
They're pretty quick. I haven't seen that tear gas. That seems to get the job done pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would, Bobby, way in here. I'm just trying to go back to the riots of 2011. Because if you remember, game seven of the Stanley Cup final, Boston won, and there was a whole bunch of rioters in Vancouver, and they smashed windows. I can't remember how quickly they started using tear gas, but I know they used it. I know they brought in armored vehicles and batons and safety gear and stuff like that. So. They weren't tolerating it, but then again, that wasn't a protest. That was an all-in riot. It started as a riot.
Yeah,
Bobby. They sensed it early too, because there were reports of people coming from public transit into the city before the game started that were already lubricated and. Didn't seem intent on enjoying the public watch party that was about to happen.
Right, so they were drunk and ready to cause trouble. Yeah. Wow. Thanks, Bobby. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. So yeah. Wow.
When you find, at least here, this is what you normally see. It's you got the bullhorn and you say this is an illegal protest. You're asking to leave. You normally get a warning, and then after that warning, in some cases, it's about 5 minutes. Depending on the police agency, and then they start shooting the tear gas, and that happens pretty quickly, unless it turns violent very quickly. So if you're on the front line, like I saw some video from Washington, D.C. earlier, where there was an intentional taunting of the police, so they go up, yell, scream, middle finger, which doesn't really provoke the police to do anything. But as soon as they start shooting fireworks at the police, you don't get a warning. You got to get out, so it's over with.
Yeah.
And so each of them handled it a little bit different.
What did you make of the of that violence out the front of the White House tonight?
Yeah, I got to see just a little bit of that. So they set a government building on fire. I don't exactly know what it was, but then you saw a lot of people. And this is the thing. What you see is, let's run up to the front of the line, yell and scream, and then someone throws something or someone shoots something, and then the police react to it, and then the protesters run off. And then they basically they play the card like, I can't believe they would shoot tear gas at us when the police were purposely being shot at with either fireworks or, in some cases, like even here, like in Ferguson, they believe someone took a shot at them with a firearm. So then they do that, and then they go and talk to the cameras as if it's some sort of, I can't believe I'm a victim of police brutality. And then they go back and run to the front lines again, and just it's like a game to them, and it's sad if they're treating this like a game.
Yeah, do you think they're legitimate peaceful protesters though? If they're part of the violence and then claiming that they're victims,
there can be. So there's sometimes you find spectators that are just there to observe, and normally you see them on the side, and they're just like, okay, here's the protest, and they're watching, and they're not. They have no intention of doing anything. But the problem is, you can't weed out the bad ones when you got people shooting stuff at you. It's just the whole crowd needs to go. So the problem is, if you're going to associate yourself with bad actors and ones that are there for no good, you're going to run the risk of getting treated with the rest of them like tear gas or whatever it may be. So that's the thing. You separate yourself from those bad actors. Don't even try to be associated with them, because you're just running the risk of getting clumped in with them.
Your show's on air for, what, another 15 minutes or so. Have you still got people out on the streets right now in St. Louis, or are you staying on air until that's all done, or what's the story?
Yeah, well, we pretty much wrapped up. Like, in the last hour, it seemed like most of the protests were completed for the night. And, I mean, we're watching one other thing that might be happening downtown, but otherwise, it seems like the demonstrations are over for the night. So we were covering our television stations. They had some reporters on the street. And we had Michael Calhoun in the newsroom was also monitoring and reporting for us. And it looks like, all things considered, maybe tomorrow there could be another protest happening. But it's like, you got to take these things one day at a time. You never know what's going to pop up or not.
Yeah, that's the way it goes, man. Hey, listen, I'll let you get back to it, and we'll get back to it up here in Canada. But, man, we'll chat again next week, all right?
Good hearing from you, Drex. That's our
big Ryan Rex,
who does the late shift all across the Canadian network there. All right, so I want to say, I want to also point out that anyone that may be listening, we do that every Sunday. And thank you for the text messages, the support. It doesn't look like we have any other callers. It seemed like a lot of it was at the start of the show, and we had some great calls tonight. I want to thank each and every one of you that called in. And what I want to do is play one last thing for you right after the break. And this was really interesting. This is from Philadelphia. We didn't get too many national reports from Philadelphia, but there was a local Philadelphia station that was on the ground. And I'll tell you what, they did something. They were telling the scene. They were giving the sound. It was just an unbelievable newscast I want to replay for you coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Well, we have another segment here, and then afterwards, hey, how about that? We didn't really talk about the coronavirus for an entire show. Well, two shows in a row. Whoa. A lot of people are pointing out this may be the only time, and some people were wondering how long would it take before we stopped talking about the virus. And it seems like May 31st, if you had that on your squares, you would have got the big winner there. But we're going to play in the 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock hour, the replay from CBS Radio News. They did a special on the coronavirus and giving you the latest updates on that. Really good analysis on some of the different medical accomplishments and some of the things that have changed since then. So that's going to be coming up in the next hour. And, but before we do that, I wanted to play this one newscast from KYW, which is a radio station in Philadelphia. And what they were doing was had a person on the street reporting some of the different riots and the protests that were going on there. And it was just unbelievable, everything that was going on at the same time. It was just pure chaos. So let's relive some of that from earlier tonight.
But Kristen, you are up in North Philadelphia. Tell us what you got going there.
So Dave, Alex Silverman, our program director, came to pick me up. I'm at Broad and Allegheny, and there was looting up and down. We have a Philly pretzel. They went into the Fine Wine and Spirits. This is all mostly kids. They broke into the T-Mobile store, the PNC Bank. They just decided to go nuts over here. And actually, there's one woman here who's carrying an entire bag of the T-Mobile, but you can smell the smell of alcohol. Now, again, there were gates that were kind of pulled under the glass. They were able to even get through that. They're still going into the Fine Wine and Good Spirits right now. And these are kids for the most part. I mean, this is not, I do see a couple teenagers and whatnot, but they are running in there. Only one cop so far that I've seen in the area here in North Philadelphia. People are just stopping their cars and getting out and running into this Fine Wine and Spirits. And there's not a cop to be seen. I don't see any police right now in this area as they are looting the Fine Wine and Spirits. And right now there's dozens of people that are running into there. There's been nobody. They're just pulling up, running in, and you can smell alcohol through. There's broken glass kind of everywhere. They've raided the T-Mobile store and also the Philadelphia pretzel. They jump in. One kid, this is like little kids carrying alcohol. I see one of the big jugs of wine that one of the kids is carrying. There's not a police officer in sight. Not a police officer in sight, but instead kids are carrying out wine bottles. This is insane.
Kristen, I just want to make it clear, Kristen. We're talking about young children going into a liquor store, right?
Yep. Young.
And
one of those kids just knocked my phone out of my hand, and that's why I jumped down. This little girl just knocked my phone as I was sitting here and talking to you, so I actually can't even hear you as I try and put my... This is a dangerous situation. Again, no police are anywhere near here. They're just running in and out of the liquor store. It's getting very violent. They're calling me out. They've knocked my phone. Thankfully, I got a... Can you hear me, Dave?
Yes, I can, Kristen.
I got
please,
my...
Please,
one
back
girl just
off.
Came out.
Please back out.
Oh, I'm far away. I'm far away from this.
And
there's not
they're
any
going
police
after you
at all.
So you better
right,
back
so
off.
This
off.
Is,
yep, I just had a person...
Newscast from KYW, live coverage from Philadelphia. Kids running in and looting. Sometimes you wonder. And I saw the feed from Ferguson earlier where it's about 11:30 at night. And, you know, a couple had their two young children with them. And I thought, man, why would you take them there? There's no way there could have been an emergency that required you to go down to where there are people that are actively being dangerous in their protesting. I just don't get it. And then in this case, why in the world would kids in their mind feel like they can go into a liquor store and just grab whatever they want off the shelf? Man. Well, that about does it for us here on Overnight America. You can follow me on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. I'm going to post some things on there, and who knows what tomorrow will bring. And you know we'll be here with you, and I hope that we can spend some more time together on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. I want you to be safe. Enjoy the rest of your night, and take care. Enjoy the CBS Special Report coming up in the next hour on Cable.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.